on Sunday mornings because they're people who God allowed to do something awesome and wonderful, something, spectacular, or the word extraordinary. Today, the thought is leaving your comfort zone, and we're going to look at the story of Nehemiah, and the verse to think about is, some have compassion, making a difference. And the story of Nehemiah, most of you know that he is taken, the nation of Israel has been taken captive. There's been a portion after a number of years that goes back to Israel, goes back to Jerusalem, tries to rebuild the wall, try to establish the temple and different things like that. And Nehemiah is still under captivity, his palace as the cupbearer. And as the story goes along, Nehemiah has a willing heart to try to help in a certain area. So a couple of things to remind you of: the word ordinary means really nothing special or distinctive feature, something that's normal. We talked about, you know, what's wrong with being ordinary. I know most people think, well, if my life is ordinary, then that's a good thing. Then I'm not too much excitement. Then we talked about the word extraordinary, going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary. And the Bible talks about God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the thought for all this series is, man, God can do something special in our life. God can do something extraordinary in our lives if we would just stay faithful and just do the things that we're supposed to do. I mean, was Noah a master carpenter? Is that why God chose him? No. Was Noah this or that? God chose him because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because he was a righteous man and he was willing to be obedient. And because of those things, God was able to do something extraordinary in their lives. So today, the point for Nehemiah is the idea of willingness, Nehemiah was simply willing. And he was willing to hear the needs of someone else. He was willing to let those needs affect him. He was willing to respond to those needs. And God used him in a supernatural, extraordinary way. So why do we look at these things? It's because sometimes we need to be reminded, if I'm going to be faithful and if I'm going to do what God wants me to do, then God can use me in whatever way he sees fit. Now, some people get to be on the background, the pages of history and pages of the Bible, because we know there are thousands, millions of Christians over the years, never mentioned in books, never mentioned the Bible, even thousands of people that give their lives every year for the cause of Christ. But that's extraordinary. You say, why? It's because they're doing what God wants them to do. What greater thing in this world can we do than find out God's will and do what God's will is? So my hope and prayer from this lesson is that we would walk away today saying, Lord, I'm willing. Whatever it is, God, I'm willing to do it. And as we look at the story here, you can see that there is a group of people that need some help, and they respond to it. One of my favorite things to hear, and I don't watch a lot of news today, I read most things online just because there's a lot of garbage on TV and a lot of liberal media stuff that kind of infiltrates some of the things. So I a lot less time by just reading it. And for me, people learn different ways. But one of the things I really enjoy seeing and hearing is those stories where someone helps someone else. And that's always a nice thing. Someone is in a need, helped meet that need, even when they might not know them at all. And they are willing to see someone else's need and willing to help that person and that individual need. Sometimes they call them everyday miracles. And in all reality, what they are is someone that's willing to just be a blessing and a help to someone else. And I think about people in our lives that are willing to help others. One thing that impresses me is when I go visit someone who's sick or someone who's struggling, and the one thing they're worried about, they're concerned about everybody else. How is so-and-so doing? Or how is this person doing? And sometimes you go meet an elderly or a shut-in person, and you can tell they've been praying for them. You could tell, oh, I have a lot off. I think of Mr. NT. He's always told me this. Mr. NT's got his own personality, and you know he can be a little, I don't know, just like Mr. NT is. He likes to be a jokester. And Mr. NT many times would say, oh, there's a lot of people worse off than I am. And he used to tell me, don't come visit me anymore. Go visit somebody who really needs it. He doesn't say that anymore. I try not to take it personal. But, he said, and many times when I would go visit him, he says, go tell somebody the gospel. They need visits more than me. I says, well, I'm not here to see you anyway, Mr. NT. I'm here to see your wife anyway. nobody would come visit you and come visit your wife because she needs the help. So, but at the same time, but that's something Mr. NT would always say. Don't be worried about me. Worry, and I know how many times when I call and talk to somebody, Miss Diane, saying, well, how's this person doing? Same thing with Mrs. Wallace and other people that are saying, hey, what's going on here? And they're not looking for gossip. They're somebody who's trying to find a way that they can pray and trying to find a way that they can help. And one of the sweetest things I see is when someone who is really struggling or maybe doesn't have as much to help as maybe others would, and I see those people interact and those people give, it just amazes me how God works. It amazes me how God's willing. And this God takes a willing vessel and does something that's just extraordinary and changes people's lives. And so that's the thought here. Nehemiah, he is a captive. He is does not have the freedom that most people would. He still has to ask the king for permission. So he could be feeling sorry for himself. But he realizes he does not have it as bad as someone else, and he responds to the needs of these people. So here's just three simple thoughts this morning. I don't have papers for you. You can jot them down if you want to. But my prayer is that we just walk out this room today saying, God, I don't know if I told you this in a while, but I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, especially when it comes to the needs of others. And I think we should be led by God to help these people. I don't think we should help everyone. I don't think we should be haphazard about it. But I think we should let God lead us because God knows exactly what needs to be done. So first thing is be willing to make room for the concerns of others. Be willing to make room for the concerns of others. And let's jump into our story here in Nehemiah chapter number 1. The Bible says the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislah, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So we know that Nehemiah is here. He is serving in the king's courtroom as the cupbearer, and he sees some of his friends, maybe some of his family members that are coming from this area. He's excited to know what's going on in Jerusalem. It's just an ordinary day. He's there. He's living in a captive country. He gets to see some people from Jerusalem. He wants to hear an update. He wants to hear a report. But this report is something that does not sound good. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates there are burned with fire. And we see here Nehemiah's home, the walls and gates. They're there to be able to protect them. They've been burned with fire. There's no protection for them. And he is interested, and he is concerned. He have to show a level of concern here. He didn't even have to ask. But you see how he responds. He makes room for the concerns of others. He could have used the excuse and said, hey, well, you know what? I got a lot going on in my life. You know what? I'm under captivity too here, and I know how you feel. But he doesn't do that. Look at his response in verse number 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And see what he does? He prays. He doesn't say, hey, I got things going on in my life too. Instead, he makes room in his life for the concerns of others. I don't know if you can read this as well, but it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The Bible speaks about how we're supposed to try to minister to one another. And Nehemiah, upon hearing this and asking about this, could have said, man, that's tough. That's rough. That's hard. How many times do we hear things like that when it comes to America, when we hear things on the news? And once again, there's a lot of things. Or we hear what's going on in somebody else's life, and we turn around like, man, that's hard. That's tough. And I got my own problems. And we try to tell them. But Nehemiah does something different. He allows room in his heart. He allows room in his life for the concerns of others. The next thing he does, we need to be willing to feel others' hurts. There's a popular phrase out there, and sometimes I jokingly maybe say it with my sons, I feel your pain. You know, yeah, I feel it. I see what you're going on. I feel your pain. But in all reality, how many of us take time to understand other people's hurts? Most of the time, we're apathetic when it comes to other people's needs. We're their own. Really understand and feel the pain of another person. To truly see what they're going through, as Nehemiah does here. He tries his best to understand, and it causes him in verse number 4, I heard these words, and I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed about it. He was not apathetic about it. He began to weep. He began to fast. He began to pray. You know, man, that really stinks, and this is the problem I'm going through. But instead, he does something. Compassion has the idea of feeling or emotion when a person is moved by the suffering or distress of another by the desire to relieve it. You know, it's really feeling someone else's pain to the point that I want to try to do something. In the Bible, it's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. When's the last time we truly wept over someone else's hurts? When's the last time we truly fasted that God would answer a prayer for someone that's going? When's the last time we cried because someone was hurting? I don't know about you, I've seen grown men cry over a sporting event before. You might laugh. Some of you ladies cry at frivolous things too. But they're more affected by whether or not the Pittsburgh Steelers win or lose than the fact that they are, that someone, shh. I don't think I've ever cried at a sporting event that was played by somebody else. I might have shed tears over something I could have done better over the years. But that's when you're a kid and everything means so much to you. Because the point is, it means more to you than what someone else is going through. You know, we could not bat an eye the fact that someone died and went to hell. But we get upset because the coach made a bad call. Or because someone fumbled the ball. Or someone did this or that. So the thought here, Nehemiah, he was willing to feel others' hurts. He didn't just hear it. He began to process it. He began to pray about it. And then began to say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? He became a willing participant in this struggle that they were having. And so what does he do? He reacts to it. He prays. Be willing to act in response to the need. Be willing to act in response. Let yourself be grown enough to where you begin to feel other people's hurts, and let enough in your heart that the concerns affect us. But look what he does. He prays. What a wonderful prayer that's found here in verse number 5. And I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now. Day and night. Now, listen to the way he's praying. In verse number 4, he's sitting down, he's weeping, he's mourning, he's fasting, he's praying. But it says he's doing it day and night here in verse number 6. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep thy commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name here there. So he's repenting of his part of this. And in the nation of Israel, and you think about the sins, he's reminding God of the promises that he's given, and he's saying, Lord, allow these things to happen again. Gather the people up again, bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Does God know that? Yes, he does. Why is he praying this? Because God, he's reminding God of his promises. Verse number 11, he does something that's a little bit unique. He says, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I am was the king's cupbearer." So in the story here, he prays. He begins praying, and he continues on praying. One of the greatest things you can do is pray for someone else. Nehemiah's first reaction on behalf of those in need was to pray for them. He admitted it was a sin and that it led to problems, but he also boldly reminded God of his promise to his people through Moses. He closed with this idea, God, he's talking about that he wants to have mercy on the people and that everyone needs their mercy. A couple preachers put it this way. Missionary J. Oswald says, "Prayer does not outfit us for the greater work, but prayer is the greater work." Another pastor put it this way. "You can do more than pray after you've prayed. You can never do more than pray until you have prayed." So when we consider all these different things, sometimes we say, okay, let me give money towards this. Let me give my time. Let me give my energy. Let me give my help towards this. But the greatest thing we can do in our lives is first and foremost is to pray. Now, and let God lead us and direct us. Now, some people say, hey, I'm praying, and I'm not talking about a feigned spirit. I'm talking about a person that will say, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm willing to do. Well, look what it says in verse number 5. And I said, in chapter number 2, verse number 5. "And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it." So the next thing I want you to think about here is be willing to act in response to the need. Pray, fast, do whatever it is to get close to God and say, what can I do in this situation? Sometimes it is just pray. Once again, you can do nothing greater than prayer, but you can do more after you pray because God responds to us. I think it's amazing. Nehemiah, he is a captive. He is the king's cupbearer, but he is in an exalted position. He prays in verse number 11 in chapter number 1 and in verse number 5, God, use me. He's saying, okay, give me grace or give me mercy in the sight of this man because I want you to use me in a way that you've laid upon my heart. In verse number 5, he goes to the king. The king says, what do you want? He doesn't tell the king, hey, I think you should go and have somebody else build this city. I think you should go and hire somebody to build these walls. You know, he's a king. He has all these architects. He has all these different things. He says, I want you to use, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to be that person. I'm willing to be your hands, God. I'm willing to be your eyes and your ears and your mouth, Lord. And in this story that goes along here, I see that Nehemiah is willing to react in response to the need. I don't know how many times in our lives we have people say, man, that's tough, or I feel your pain, but never pray. Never let our rooms, our hearts be open for room for concerns of others. And I'm talking to people here I know that are kind. I'm talking to people here that are compassionate. I'm talking to people here that I've seen responded to needs before in the past. And I think that's great and that's wonderful. But are you willing to do whatever it is God wants you to do? Because it is easy sometimes for us to do the things we want to do. There are certain people in the world we'd do anything in the world for, right? We bend over backwards to try to help someone we love or a family member. Bible even talks about even the Gentiles do that. In the book of, you're going to love those that love you. Yeah, everybody does that. But what Nehemiah is willing to do, and Nehemiah, I know he's helping his people here, but he's not just sending an offering. He's not just being compassionate by listening. Instead, he's willing to get involved. How do we get involved? First, we have to learn how to pray for people. And as we pray and we're right with God, God responds to us and says, hey, I want you to do this. I don't know how many times God's answered a prayer that I never even told another person about. George Mueller is famous for just praying and God answering, speaking to someone else's heart and fulfilling the need that George Mueller and the orphanage had. Who does that? God, when people are willing participants. So my goal for you today is to walk away and say, hey, I'm willing, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do. I put down here as an example as missionaries just to remind me, but we think about how God speaks to someone's heart about going thousands of miles away to a mission field. Last week we had the Odyssins. We're here and they're in Papua New Guinea. And I love sitting and talking to missionaries that are have different cultures and different foreign fields. I think missionaries all across America are important. I think missionaries in more civilized areas are just as important as those other ones. But I love hearing about different cultures. And I sit there and I listen to them talk, and I'm thinking, how in the world did they end up in the other side of the world? How in the world did they end up in some type of house that doesn't have electricity and that clothes instead of having a wash machine and things like that? And, you know, how in the world can they talk about these? I mean, and they talked about how Mr. Osman talked to me about the differences between husbands and wives and how husbands view their wives as property, and how he asked one guy, who's a family member that you love the most? And he went then and says, my dad and my mom. And he went through my kids, my brother, my sister, my uncle. And the last person was his wife. And he says, it's because I bought her. Because they pay a dowry. It reminds me of how things are so messed up over in other parts of the world. I'm thinking they deal with that. There's someone over there that believes in witch doctors. There's someone over there that believes in spirits. And I hear all these stories, and I think, how in the world did this couple that loves the Lord end up on the side of a mountain somewhere in this area? It's because they said, hey, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to do more than just hear about the needs. I'm willing to pray about it. And as I truly pray and maybe fast and mourn over the needs of others, I'm willing to respond to what God speaks to my heart about. And that's what it was. God spoke to their hearts about being missionaries. And I know they have a neat, unique story about Cherith going over first and writing another written language and coming back while she was on deputation and met Jason on the last stop of her deputation. It's just amazing. And I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about people that are over in Africa and people that are over in other areas of the world, that there's people there that God loves and people there that God wants to see saved. And he's willing that all he wants all men to come to repentance. But how do you end up doing that? Is that you have an open heart that says, God, hey, I'm willing. I'm not saying, hey, say, God, I think you should send me to Papua New Guinea, because not everybody needs to go there. Say, hey, I'm willing. And that's what Nehemiah does in my mind here. He hears the needs. He doesn't just shrug them off and said, man, I feel your pain. Listen to what I have to go through. But instead, he says, I'm going to open my heart up enough for the concerns of others, and I'm going to begin by praying. And as I pray, I'm going to let God speak to my heart about what I should do in these areas. We can't help everyone. I don't think we should. But I think we should help those that God speaks their hearts. Now, should we reach the gospel for everyone? Of course. Should we pray for every need? Yes, obviously. But there are times when God has laid it upon other people's hearts to take care of certain things. And sometimes we're enabling people to do things that they don't need to be doing. But that's not the point here. Nehemiah saw a need, and he let his heart be open for the concerns of others. And then he reacted by praying. He didn't just hear it. He reacts by praying. And then as he prays, he responds and says, Lord, I'm willing to go to this. Give me mercy in the sight of the king. The king said, what are you doing sad in my presence? This is sorrowfulness of heart. What can I do? And Nehemiah doesn't say, send somebody else. He says, God spoke into my heart. Send me. I want to encourage you today, be willing. Whatever it is, pray about it, seek God's face. He's the one that knows exactly what the other person needs. Like I said, I could tell you story after story how God miraculously does something with an ordinary person. Even people in this room I know who have met needs of others. They didn't know anything else. Here, God spoke in my heart. I like to do this, or I like to help here. How'd you know about it? God told me. This is what I've been laid upon their heart. And they responded. It's because they allow themselves to have their hearts opened. They pray about it. And then they respond. Let me encourage you. Be like Nehemiah. He was known for being a great leader. We went through the book of Nehemiah, I don't know, a few years ago on Sunday nights. Great book. So much about leadership in there. There's been books written about leadership. But the reason why Nehemiah did something extraordinary was not because of his leadership. There was plenty of people that were great leaders. It's because he was willing. That first thing is willingness. It wasn't Noah's charisma or Noah's preaching ability or Noah's architectural or craftsmanship. It was his obedience that he did something extraordinary. And with Nehemiah, yes, I'm sure the Lord enables us for certain jobs and certain purposes. Nehemiah first had to say, God, I'm willing, before he can ever do the extraordinary. You say, Pastor, I don't have anything to offer. Just be willing. He'll show you what to do. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these people. Help us, Lord, to leave this place saying, God, I want to help bear one another's burdens. God, I want to look to the needs of others more than to myself. And Lord, I just want to be willing to do what you want me to do, whatever it is, whether it is going over to a place like Papua New Guinea or just going across the street, whether it is praying and then responding with an action or just keeping things in prayer. Lord, I pray that each of us would say this as we leave today. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. I want to be open to what your plan and purpose for my life is, because I know you can take something that's ordinary and make it extraordinary. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Lord, I pray you help the services to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.